This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Tom E. Curran with WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by FlexCar. Save thousands with your flexible car lease at FlexCar.com, and by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. Tom E. Curran, how we doing?
What's up, buddy? Good afternoon.
And a good afternoon to you, too. I hope that this nice long break here in between games has been treating you well. And I know that it's been an interesting sort of week here for the Patriots at practice with this extra time after coming off of a tough loss. A lot has been made, Tommy, about the message and Gerard Mayo and sort of his ability to motivate these guys after a loss like this. Where would you say that level is right now as we get closer and closer to Sunday?
That's a key question, I think, Christian, going into this week, and we'll get our answer a little bit on Sunday. I mean, I can't really tell how motivated they are until they take the field and see how much they can rectify all of the issues, or at least some of the issues, both in performance, technique, and honestly, a little bit of effort from the last game. And that's one thing that I think the Patriots need to guard against in this year that we all understand is a bridge year and a building year, and their priority is a quarterback who's not playing and laying a foundation. These guys can't get, I guess, complacent, Andrew Hart. They can't get accepting of their plight and say, well, I mean, what did you expect? Of course we got our asses kicked with all the offensive linemen out and Aaron Rodgers dialed in. You know, of course we went out to San Francisco after they lost and got our asses kicked. So to me, I think that's something that's very important for Mayo to guard against, any kind of loss of urgency toward this season as he builds the culture here.
Tom, I think everybody inside the building and outside the building agrees that for this Patriots offense to do whatever it's going to do, it has to run the football. The problem there is the guy that runs the football has not been doing a great job of holding on to it. Is that a significant concern in your mind?
It's a concern, but not significant. I just think that's one of those things, Andy, that you can control and fix. And we've seen it so many times. And those folks in the listening audience who remember Kevin Falk, Patriots Hall of Famer, he was a friggin' disaster. He was single-handedly responsible for 35 points. I remember adding it up in 2000. He was their lead back in 2000 when Charlie Weiss and Bill Belichick came in. He couldn't hold on to the ball. He fixed it. If this is, you know, an issue that is turning into a trend with Ramondre Stevenson, he can fix it. But it is right for them to mention it. And don't you find it interesting a little bit, too, the way Gerard Mayo can look at something and say, yeah, I'm seeing it, too. It's got to stop.
Yep.
In the way that Bill would talk around it.
Yep, I love it. The offensive line, everything. I love just the matter-of-fact way that he acknowledges that, yeah, that elephant sitting in the corner is actually an elephant. We should probably get it out of here before it stomps on us.
Exactly. Yeah, pretty much sums it up.
All right, well, with that in mind, the other big issue, and I think one that Mike Reese wrote about today as being the biggest issue on this team, offensive line and pass protection. Would you agree with that assessment that offensively it starts there and that's the main thing they have to fix this weekend?
1,000,000%. With coming up quietly on the outside, the lack of contain and edge setting defensively and the disastrous tackling, which shouldn't have gone away, but you can't play the game if you can't protect the quarterback and score points. You can't possibly even hope to score points. But, I mean, same as it ever was. I love Mike, and Mike is one of my best friends, but and I'm sure he would acknowledge this too, it's the same issue it's been for three friggin' years. Of course it's an issue.
Tom, there's a that was one of those pregnant pauses that I wasn't sure whether there was
answer. Like, well, engage me. I mean, what?
I was trying not to talk over you because we both talk at the same time. Nobody can hear you.
Yeah, I didn't know if you had more there. It's never totally clear.
So, Tom, obviously the same damn topic has been the same damn topic for, you know, August, early September, the quarterback position. When are we going to see Drake May? You had a great interview with Dante this week that I truly appreciated. But the question I want to ask you is, a lot of people seem to think or assume now that Jerod Mayo wants to play Drake May, and it's either Elliot Wolf or Elliot Wolf combined with Alex Van Pelt that are slow playing it, and the ones in the background saying, no, he's not ready, we're not doing this, that's not the right time. Do you think there's any truth to that? Is there any sort of a divide between Mayo and Van Pelt Wolf?
I read Andrew Callahan's story. I wish I could quote from it right now, because I think that would be the most concrete example of someone saying what you're referring to. And Andrew says, yeah, I admit I'm cherry picking these quotes, and this is merely a gut instinct on what I believe, but I think he wants to start May. And I think that there is probably an element of Jerod Mayo that says, man, I can't watch this right now with Jacoby. Would it be a little bit better if we had Drake out there running around? And that is a tiny little, I think it's a tiny little devil on everyone's shoulder. And again, that's the transparency of Mayo is, you know, he won't totally slam the door and say, look, we have a plan. I told you we had a plan. We're sticking to the plan. No matter how enticing it might be when Jacoby's getting pummeled to think about would it look different if Drake May was running around making people miss, we're not doing that because it'll ruin him, and it's going to end up with him back on the bench or looking like Sam Darnold or Mac Jones or Bryce Young. So no matter how tempting it is for all of us, we're not doing it. But he can't bring himself to do that, can he?
No, he can't. But I guess the question that still lingers there, Tommy, is ideally, what would the plan look like if everything went perfectly for the Patriots this year? When would we even see Drake May?
No, I don't think we would. I think if everything went perfectly for the Patriots, Christian, that would be a 9-8 team by the end of the year, and Jacoby Brissett was able to make every start, and the team was competitive and the foundation was laid and it looked like a good team. That's their best case scenario. That's what they want to have happen. What's more likely to have happen is at some point they're going to get, and I use this as a random number, they're going to get to about six games under 500, 2-8, 1-7, 3-9. And they're going to say, you know what? We're pretty much mathematically eliminated here. I think we're ready to go ahead to Drake now. So I think it's a six game as opposed to a date.
Tom, on social media, there's like these two areas if you can kind of get lost in. One is Christian Gonzalez is a dominant young corner who shuts down every number one receiver he goes up against. The other, he stinks. He's the 114th graded corner in football or whatever the hell the actual number is from PFF. What is Christian Gonzalez right now? Which is closer to the truth? Is he dominant great or is he very much a work in progress?
He's a work in progress, but he's a ball of clay that was it's a very high quality. Ooh. Very high quality clay. He has at his disposal physical skills that very few players at that position have, and certainly nobody else on this team. He's long. He is incredibly effortless in the way that he accelerates. I think he's smart, although he doesn't talk enough for me to discern whether or not he truly is, but he doesn't seem to do anything really stupid. So I'm basing it on that. And he's, what, seven games into his career? Six and a half? That's all he's played. Mm-hmm. So I conclude that he is one of the most smooth-moving cornerbacks I think I've seen the Patriots have. If you want to compare him to Malcolm Butler, for instance, or who was the other furious little corner that they had? Oh, J.C. Jackson. I would take a Christian Gonzalez type every single time. Just big, long stealth as opposed to those little Tasmanian devil corners that J.C. Jackson and Malcolm Butler were. So he's a very good player on a bad team. We'll see how good he is when they get good.
All right, it's now time for Tommy Curran's Flex of the Game, presented by FlexCar. Ditch the dealership and save thousands with FlexCar. Tommy, I feel like everybody's counting the Patriots out this weekend. It's a good Niners team, not a great one. They're 1-2 as well. What can the Patriots do? Can they compete in this game? Could they even win this game?
I'm going to have to put a flex out there that says absolutely not. The worst thing that could have happened to the Patriots last weekend actually happened, and that's the Rams came back and were gifted a game by the Niners. So now the Niners have full attention on the Patriots. And the flex of the game is delivered by Nick Bosa, who said, "We have to feel this one," meaning the loss to the Rams. They didn't want to turn the page. They wanted to let it sink in how badly they blew that game. So bad spot for the Patriots against a team that is much more talented, despite its injuries.
All right, we'll leave it right there then. Tommy Curran, thanks so much for the time. As always, we'll talk to you again next Thursday.
Okay, guys. See you later.
All right.